We're on page 267, 268 in chapter 51. In chapter 51, beginning, he asked the question of the idea of Hasharis Hashchina, the divine presence rests. Doesn't the divine presence rest everywhere? And that was the question that was asked and said that, doesn't it rest everywhere? So what is this idea?
I mean, it is everywhere, but it's a question.
It says the term rest.
That's a different issue.
He says the divine question resting is that the primary, the resting place of the Shekhinah is in the Karcha Kedushin, between the staves of the Luchos. Okay, and he says, Hello, Mali Es Kolar Es Kavod, don't I fill the whole entire world? Or Mali Kolar Es Kavod, the world is filled with Hashem's glory. Okay, and he gave the example of us.
Yes.
And we have a soul, and the soul enlivens the entire body. But the brain is the main force and from whence the soul emanates to the rest of the body and provides the life to all the 613 body parts.
Yes.
And in doing so, the soul, which is a davar pashut, an uncomplicated, undefined entity, is defined as it encloses itself into the various body parts, so that the soul can now be manifest as the power of sight in the eye and the power of hearing in the ear, etc.
Right.
Okay, so now we're going to be starting, it's about a third way down. The first word on the line is vihine, and that's where we are starting from. So vihine alham shachos kol teriyag mini keichos v'chayes mehelam ha-neshama el haguf l'hacha yoysa leha amru, about this revelation of the soul as it's conveyed through the 613 powers of the soul to enliven the body. It says she'ikir mishkana v'hasharasol shal ham shachos zu v'giloi zu kula b'moichin shebereish, that the main revelation of soul is in brain. Okay? When people perceive the world and they're thinking, they think that they're thinking with their brains, which are in their heads.
Right.
Yeah. You know, people don't perceive themselves as thinking with their tummies or their elbows or whatever. They think that they're thinking with their brains, and that is because that's where the soul, that's the brain is the sentry point for the chayas coming into the body.
Yeah.
And from there it's dispersed. Lachin hay mekavlin chilos hakayach v'hachayas haroya lehem l'fimu zogonet chudasam shein chabad v'kayach hamakshava. That's why the brain gets it first. That you have the chachma and the bina, the das and the power of thought are all contained in the brain, because those are the most sublime powers. Those are what define us as human beings, is the ability to reason and rationalize, which is all contained in the brain. It's the first and highest power, which is in the brain. The kol hashayach lemoichin loy zubovad ele gam klalis kol hamshachas achayas l'shar evorim gam kem kolumim lo shubamoichin. Here's an interesting thing, Shibarosh. Not only is it that the brain, the intellectual powers and thought are contained in the brain, but there is a, I'm going to say, I don't know if I want to use the word, I'm not exactly sure if you would say primordial or maybe just sublime power of every body part in the brain. And indeed, you can stimulate any body part by stimulating its corresponding brain part. They've been doing that for a century. Right?
Well, that's how you can bring actions, certain actions, to rote.
Because, correct.
I mean, the hand, it's not that the hand learns to do it, or whatever. Or
right, it's that your brain gets it to do
it
automatically.
On a repetitive function.
Correct.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, and then they figured out how to do some brain mapping by sending electric charges and seeing that, it's not affecting the body part there.
Right.
There may be also something too, if you're up at all on Eastern medicine, where you have like the meridians of the body.
Right.
And because what it means is if you've got something that relates to your brain, and in your brain that relates to your hand, so therefore there's going to be something in your hand that's going to relate to your brain as well.
Right.
So therefore, on that theory, it's not so far-fetched to stick a needle in its exact spot in the wrist to take care of a headache.
Right.
Okay, which is, this they know they
sure,
this,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was on television when I was a kid already, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So because the brain contains every body part, you might say.
Yeah.
Just like it is, and for that reason, we have Rosh Hashanah is called Rosh Hashanah, not Tchilas Hashanah, right, which would be beginning of the year, or Shana Chadasha, the new year. It's called the head of the year, because Rosh Hashanah is the century point for all the Chayas that's going to coming into the year. And there's 365 parts that are found in a, there's not primordial. The primordial is before it comes into the Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
There's only just sublime.
Right.
Okay, it's in a potential that's sitting there waiting to get appropriated into 12 less specific parts, right, corresponding to the 12 months, which are then provided, is split into 30 specific days, which is split into 24 specific hours, which is split into 1,080 chalakim.
Right.
Okay. And
1080.
So the and that's all contained in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And somewhere on your Rosh Hashanah, you're going to say, oh, this corresponds to Tevis 29 at 335 and a half.
Right, yeah.
Okay, right there, right at that spot.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's where the Chayas will be coming from.
Right.
That's where its beginning point will be.
Hence the value of not wasting time.
And wasting time on Rosh Hashanah.
And saying tilling the whole day, etc., etc.
Being busy, yes, you know, with good things, yes.
Right, yeah.
Okay. The brain is where you have the most revealed part of the soul coming out into a revealed way. And from there, it spreads out to all the other body parts. And each body part now can receive a proper amount of godliness, or excuse me, soul power. Because the brain is now the first keli. Keli is translated as tool, not vessel. It's the first tool which now can mete out how much soul you need in your eyes and how much you need in your ear, and the way that it's going to be manifest in them so that you can see and hear. As he said, the power of sight in the eye, the shmiya ba'ayz, and the power of hearing in the ear. All soul powers spread out and disseminate from the brain as is known.
Well,
good.
The proof to your, the rudimentary proof to what you're saying is a few months back I saw an article where they were making an artificial eye for a human being. And they had mapped LED points for receptors somewhere around. The first one they were working on had 64 receptors.
Okay.
And the person could see with them.
Okay.
And they had and in development was a receptor. It had, I don't know, 1080 or some you know, exponential number.
Mm-hmm.
And they could literally see.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about a mechanical device that causes sight. It therefore the soul power sits in the brain.
Right. That proves the point that the power of sight is not the eye.
Right.
The eye is just a way of...
It's a vehicle.
Vehicle, you know, exactly.
Right.
And what they have now with prosthetic limbs,
right,
we've gone a long way from a hook at the end of of a stub.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the things that they have, you know, you have people doing, performing in the Olympics.
Right.
These devices, because they can move. You can, you know, the power of grabbing and the ability to type and, you know... Yeah. Misham lekol evori haguf kedimyan haor hamispashit umeir mehashemesh lechadrei chadorim. And from the soul, the sensory point of the brain, the soul spreads out into all the different body parts. Using the same example, like the sun shining through many windows. A heretic once asked, I believe it was Rabbi Meir, if you want to say that the divine presence rests on every group of 10, how many divine presence are there?
Right.
You're proving my point that there is plurality in the world. So he said, let's go visit your house. And they went walking through the house, and it says, hey, you see, it's sunny in this room. He says, yeah, it's already sunny in this house. You know? And he goes to the next room, and he says, you know, it's sunny in this room, too. He says, yeah, it's sunny in this room, too. Takes him to a third room, and he says, yeah, you know, hey, look, it's sunny in this room. And he says, what's your point, Rabbi? Yeah. So he says, how many suns are there that it's sunny in all three rooms?
Right.
You know, the sun's just shining. Where it shines is irrelevant.
Exactly.
You know, so therefore you have 10 groups of 10, you have...
Right.
So the soul is just doing its thing.
Right.
And how it comes into each body part, that depends on the body part. Okay? If you have an opaque curtain on a window, the sun is not going to shine through. Okay? If you have like a drape, thin curtain, so it'll be curtained. It'll be dimmed. If you have a e-glass in there, that's take a glare off, and if you just got an open window, then it's going to come straight through.
Right.
Okay, if it's a cloudy day, if you got a hole in the ozone layer where you live, I mean, all kinds of things will be going on as to what kind of things are going on.
Yes.
Vafilu halev mikabel mahamayach v'lachin hamayach shalot alav ketol tase. And it's very interesting that the Alter Rebbe throws this little parenthetical statement at the end of this section. It's not the end of the chapter, it's just the end of the section, because this is the end of the example that he wants to give.
Okay.
The purpose of writing the Tanya is to put Judaism into practical application. That's what he said right at the start. Kikarav alecha hadavar ma'od v'fichol levavcha la-so-so. It's in your mind and your heart to do it.
It's absolutely true.
Okay, so here we've been talking.
Wow.
He's mentioned since chapter 39. He's really been talking very theoretical.
Yeah.
And he mentions every once in a while, well, you got to have vav the Hashem alakecha. You got to put in the so here he says something very interesting. It's because the soul power, which is enclosed in the heart, comes from the brain, therefore we have the ability to control ourselves.
Yes.
Why? Because my expression is Mayach Shalat al Halev. The brain rules the heart. It's one of those cardinal tenets in Hasidic philosophy, and is true in Judaism and Lahavdil, all major philosophy throughout the world. The whole purpose of that philosophy is to learn how to control yourself. Are we not men? That's what makes a man. Who's strong? Is someone who can control themselves.
Right.
Okay, so he says, now, how is it possible? Ha'ayin raya v'halev chaymed, the eye sees and the heart wants.
Yes.
And sometimes the heart really, really wants.
Yes.
So what does he say then? Mayach shalat al halev. The brain rules the heart.
Yes.
Why? Because where's the heart getting its chayas from to begin with? It's getting it not from the brain but through the brain. Okay, so since it is that the brain is what's controlling, saying, you know what, I'm going to divulge a certain amount of soul power to the heart. So that same brain can therefore decide, and I'm not going to let that heart control me, I'm going to control it, says the brain. And the Alter Rebbe puts this in this parenthetical note because it's not part of the text, it's not part of the goof of the body of the section that we're talking about.
Right.
We're trying to decide how is it that godliness comes into the world and can affect everything.
Right.
That's the whole point of this chapter 51.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no point in godliness coming into the world if you're not going to do something proper with it.
The person, right.
You have to do something with it. Like I said, this is not theoretical, and the Alter Rebbe really wants to drive home the point right here. even though we're not talking about this at all, just as a side statement, oh, by the way, since we finished talking about that, let's just throw this in and let you know, oh, by the way, you have to be in control of yourself.
This is not theoretical.
You have to be in control. You must be in control of yourself. Okay, so now that was the example. Example is that the soul is a davar pashut. It's a simple, undefined entity. It comes into the body. The first point is the brain. And there in the brain it gains definition. As the brain is the sentry point for the distribution of vitality to all the limbs of the body, and in the brain you have all of the corresponding limbs of the body,
right?
And the brain is what directs every amount of soul power so that each body part works. So now he says kacha mamish al derech mashal. One of my favorite expressions in Chassidus. Okay, is mamish al derech mashal. This is absolutely 100% true by way of example. Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of, absolutely, almost.
Yes. The English is really good. The English like makes it perfect. In a truly like manner, figuratively speaking.
Yes.
Yes. In absolutely figuratively speaking, so it's like I tell people that I am a radical moderate. You know, so anyway. Kach ha-mamash al derech mashal ein se baruch hu ma'amali kol olmim la'acha yoysim. So to it is Hashem. We said way back when, at the beginning of the chapter, is a davar pashut. Hashem is undefined. But Hashem reduced his revelation in order that it could be able to fit into this world. And indeed, the godliness comes now into and clothes itself into all the worlds to enliven them. Uvachol oylam yesh buruim la'ein kates v'tachlis ribi v'ravavas mine madregas malachim neshamas, etc. And every world contains innumerable creatures. Depending on what world you're in. You know, like souls are in Bria, or even in Atzilus. Then Atzilus, okay, so you have 10 spheres. But the 10 spheres are also made of 10 spheres.
Right.
And they're made of 10 spheres ad infinitum. So then in the world of Atzilus, okay, you have 10 spheres, but you have an infinite number of levels within the spheres.
Right.
So also in every single world, so you have neshamas and Bria and Malachim and Yetzirah, and then all the stuff that's in our universe, or multiverse, if they ever figure out how to get out of this one.
Yeah.
Okay? Lachen v'kain riboy ha'olamais ein lai kates ugvul. The number of worlds that there are is infinitely unlimited. Gavaya gavaya, each one more higher and sublime. Because okay, Seder histal shulus starts with the world of Atzilus. When you're talking the creation process. And you're using that term, Seder Histalshalus, the order of the chain reactions of cause and effect, its official title.
Yeah.
That starts in Atzilus, because Atzilus is the first place in the creation process where you have, oh, this is the cause of that, and this is the effect of this.
Identity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before that, you have things happening, but there's no definition. It's not limited.
Right.
Like, for example, it says in the world of Tohu, which is in Chitzonius of Kesser,
right,
that there you have 10 spheres in one Keli. You have 10 powers,
yes,
in one tool, if you're going to use it in that translation. That's why it's called the world of Tohu, the world of confusion.
Right.
Because it's a little big mishmash going on over there.
Right.
Okay? What it says, I'm not sure where, I think it might be Sefer Abo here, I'm not sure at all, that when you're talking about points of comparability, this world is more comparable to Atzilus, Chachma of Atzilus, the highest level of Atzilus, than Chachma of Atzilus is to the infiniteness of Hashem.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Even though you want to say that Atzilus
is
Eser Spheres Bli Mava Ein Lahem Seif, each one of the 10 spheres is without without substance and is infinite, but it's more comparable to this physical world than it is to Hashem. The infiniteness of Hashem.
Right.
Because the infiniteness of Hashem is not bli ma'aser sfiras and ein lahem sefer. It's beyond description.
Right.
It is truly infinite.
Right.
And the world of Atzilus is not.
No.
The world of Atzilus has definition. As soon as you say definition, it can't be infinite.
Right. Has identity.
So, you can draw at least an outline of the process of how to get from here to Atzilus. You could map quest Earth to Atzilus.
Mm.
Okay? Might be hard to get to, but you could definitely have a computer spit out a Google map.
It'd take more than one take.
I could imagine, you know, your GPS just going, recalculating. I don't know about that one, son. What state is Atzilus in? Anyway, just as an aside, I was like, you know, I was in Columbus for a Kinas HaShluchim yesterday and today.
Okay, yeah.
And we were in a city called, where the new Chabad house in Columbus is. It's a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a city called New Albany.
I know New Albany.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right next door to, if you know New Albany, the city next door to New Albany is Gehenna.
Okay, I've heard Gehenna.
Okay. And I was just saying, when this guy said that he was giving a lecture, and he said, and this place down in Gehenna, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about?
wait.
Why are you? Why? I know Ohio's really bad,
yeah,
but you know.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking, purgatory?
So God, there is
a place.
Are you kidding?
There is a place called Purgatory, Ohio.
Gehenna?
Okay. Gehenna.
There you go.
I just hope it wasn't named after somebody. I wouldn't want to have been that guy. Anyway, we digress. Hine mohusvas musoi shel einzei baruch hu shava be'elyonim v'tachtonim. As far as Hashem is concerned, up and down is all the same. Hashem is just doing what Hashem does.
Right.
He's in the creative mode, the creative juices are flowing, and they're just going. K'mashal ha'neshama hanal, as we gave the example of the soul. The soul is a davar pashut, it's beyond definition and beyond parameters, and it's just doing what it's doing, and a little bit of it comes into a person's brain. But the most of it is not affected by the body at all.
Yeah.
Okay, the vast majority of the soul is not affected by the body. Okay, it's out there.
Yeah.
Okay, and most of it is the primary part of the soul is connected to Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the body only touches it on rare occasion, like at a time of martyrdom. Don't try that at home. Kemosha kasev
b'tikunim. For that matter.
Yes. Kemosha kasev b'tikunim the ihu stima the kol stimayim. As it's brought down in the Zohar, that Hashem is the hidden of all hidden levels. What does it mean, the hidden of all hidden levels? Pirish da'afila ba'almas esteemim vila'ela, husasin un'elemen b'teicham. That even those things which we call hidden, which for us, everything's hidden.
Yeah.
You know, how high up do you want to go and have it still called hidden? It's hidden as soon as you get out of the physical world.
We'll call it
hidden. Because you can't see it must be hidden. It's there.
It doesn't matter. We can't see around the corner.
Right, exactly.
It's hidden in our world.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, smells
like fish. Yeah. Okay. So Hashem is hidden even in those worlds.
Yeah.
As we call Hashem the Stima de Kol Stimayim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are different levels that are described in all of the different various metaphysical books. There's Stima de Kol Stimayim and Nimno HaNimnois and Elohi Elois, which are translated the cause of causes and the hidden of all hiddens.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Tamirin de Kol Tamirin. There's also the same thing as Stimim de Kol Stimim. Tamirin, I think, is Aramaic, and Stimim is also Aramaic. I don't know if the difference of both translated as hidden in that instance. And Nimna Kol Nimnois is the appointed of all appointments. And each one refers to, and just in passing, is referring to the essence of Hashem, is describing Hashem. How are you going to call Hashem? We're going to call Hashem Ilu Ka Ilois. Okay, the cause of all causes. Okay, thank you very much. We could say that's actually a lower level than Nimna Hakim Kolham Nimnois, that he's appointed all appointments. Because pointing all appointments is an approximation, is an appropriation. He's the appropriator of all appropriations. So that's even before causes.
Right.
And then to say Tamirin dekol Tamirin and Stimin dekol Stimon, the hidden of all hiddens, yeah. is even higher levels right. in the infiniteness of Hashem. Okay, and it's all just how does Hashem have to relate to us in order for us to be here. Okay, so here he refers to Hashem as, why is he called hidden of all hiddens? Because even he's hidden from those realms which are hidden.
Yeah.
Even essentially, those things which are essentially hidden, Hashem still remains hidden where? He says, b'toicham, in them.
In them.
Hashem is not hidden from them.
In them, yes.
In them.
Just like here.
Yep. K'mayshu husasim v'nelim b'tachtenim. And Hashem, just as Hashem is hidden and concealed from us down here, he's hidden and concealed from us up there also, wherever up there may be.
Sure.
Because you can't get to God from here. Without being flippant in translation,
you can't get there from
here. There's no thought that can grasp Hashem at all, even in the upper worlds.
Right.
The Malachim, we talked about the last hour, referring to Hashem as, you know, I am a Kaim Kevoida, where is the place of His glory? And then Neshamas also, as they're manifest in Bria, are aware of greater levels of godliness.
Right.
So the okay, so Hashem is hidden. Nimsa, so it comes out from all this. Kamay Shematse Sham Kach Nimsa B'Tachtenim Mamish. That as Hashem is found up there, we're talking about. So it's also Hashem is here, just like it is at the neshama before it closes into its body and closes into the body, is an undefinable entity. Once it comes into the body, it maintains its integrity as undefiable, definable, but as it encloses itself into the body part, it now takes on nuance and function.
Right.
So too it is also with the godliness that's coming into this world. The godliness that's coming into this world maintains its integrity as being a davar pashut, being something without definition, and is only as it's enclosed and therefore revealed into every organism that it now takes on definition and function. Tilt?
No. I'm just trying to expand this in my head, son. But anyway, go
this
ahead.
Is definitely mind expanding stuff.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, you can get your head feeling bigger by doing this. Strengthen those brain muscles.
Oh.
What determines up and down, which the there's a sicha I think in Vav that talks about this, where he describes the just a very basic principle when you say the higher worlds, okay, or reaching higher, going on a higher level. What does that refer to? Is not higher in the terms of space, and we could even go so far as to say chas v'shalom.
Right.
But rather, higher means greater levels of revelation.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
That's what's determining a higher and a lower world.
Yeah,
so he says, even in the highest world, where you have the greatest amount of revelation, still, because it's a revelation, which is relating to that level...
It's a revelation.
It's only a revelation.
It's a revelation.
I heard a very interesting story.
Sure.
I saw a very interesting story, actually. And as it turned out, I was telling somebody, I just heard this story, and someone said, and he I've got halfway through it, and he finished the story. You know,
I
just heard this story.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there's only so many Hasidic stories out there, true, you know, but the Tzemach Tzedek was very close with Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, known as the Ruzhiner.
Okay,
because he came from Ruzhin, which is somewhere many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms.
Indeed, yes.
And Isaac Humler, who was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, many times was sent on missions from the Tzemach Tzedek to the Ruzhiner to convey various messages. This is before emails and fax machines and phones and telegraphs.
Yes.
Telegraphs may have been. I know telegraphs were around by the time of the Rebbe Marash. which was already the 1870s, but here you're talking 1840s, so mm-hmm. I don't think Russia had it yet.
Yeah.
So he would send this Isaac Humler, and what's happened, he sent him on a very important mission, and Isaac Humler got there Friday afternoon. It was really close to Shabbos.
Right.
Okay, so he went and he knocked on the door of the Rebbe's, the Rishner's house, and the secretary, the maskir, seeing who it was, knowing that this is an emissary of the Lubavitcher Rebbe,
sure.
immediately ushered him into the Rishner's study.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we would refer to that as Gan Eden HaElyon in Lubavitch circles.
Uh-huh.
Whether they did in Rishner cycle circles, I don't know.
We don't know. Okay.
But we do. We call it Gan Eden. This is like his private inner sanctum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Rishner didn't take any notice of him.
Wow.
Like he wasn't even there. He was sitting and smoking his pipe.
Uh-huh.
And the pipe went out exactly a moment before sunset by itself.
Yeah.
The Rishner put it down and then he started talking.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's whatever. What do we have to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Later, Rabbi Isaac Humler, after the Mittler Rebbe passed away, there was a movement to make Isaac Humler Rebbe.
Okay.
Okay. It says that. No, it was about the Leparsha. Isaac Humler, when he wanted to become a Rebbe, so it says that they brought a whole entourage to Hummel.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was living, I think maybe he was living in Vitebsk, wherever he was living at the time, they brought a carriage, they brought the Alter Rebbe's carriage.
Mm.
Okay?
Whoa.
And he put on, it says, I heard different stories, I said, he put on the Alter Rebbe's slippers and he took them off, or he put on the slippers and he put one foot on the carriage and he took a step off. And he said he remembered that the Alter Rebbe had told him, many 15 years prior, Isaac, you should have a taiva, you should desire, sitting and eating at the same table, you should have a desire for a piece of fish, and not have a desire to be Rebbe. He said when he put his foot on the step, the carriage of the Mittler Rebbe, he suddenly had harchavas ha-moichim. His brain just like opened up and every question that he ever had in learning from the time he was born until now was answered. And he said he didn't know if he put the other foot on the step if he would ever come back down.
Wow.
So he said this is not for me. Okay. So this is just to let you know who Isaac Humler was. So Isaac Humler is standing there, and he responded after the Rishner got through with the pipe. He said, I could sense that he was going higher and higher, and I was staying down here, lobe down here. And then he stopped himself and he thought, the thought was, if I could sense his holiness, maybe this is the Rebbe for me. And he stopped himself and said, Erez Taka Halik. He is truly, they call him the Halakha Rishner, but the Rebbe bleibt the Rebbe. The Rebbe is still Rebbe.
Hmm.
Because our connection that we have with the Rebbe is not one based on anything that the Rebbe did.
Does or did. Right.
Does, did,
whatever.
Or expressed.
Right.
Our connection with the Rebbe is a soul connection that's based on essence.
Yes,
the essence of the Rebbe's soul is connected to our essence.
Without question.
That's why the Alter Rebbe, when they came to him in 1776 and said, we want you to take over as Rebbe, said, I will, but you're not going to hang on to the Gartel. He didn't say exactly, there's some other expression he used. But somebody had that expression. You're not going to be hanging on to my accomplishments. You're going to have to work your own. But he said, I'll give you the tools to do it. And that's what you're looking at right now. This little tome that we have is the tools that the Alter Rebbe gave to his Hasidim or anybody who wants to be connected in such an essential way with their essence of the soul. And that's how we relate to the essence. That's why it says that if a person has a problem, this is always the thing among Hasidim, if you have a problem and you can't get an answer, open up a Tanya. Because opening up and reading from the Tanya is like having Yechidus with the Alter Rebbe. And Yechidus means your Yechidus Shibin Hashama with the Alter Rebbe's Yechidus Shibin Hashama. And speaking of the Tanya, there's a story which I heard from Shalom Baruch Gordon, which just became popular about 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It involves Pinchas Tice, and for some reason the Rebbe told him not to be Mefarsimit, or to not to make it public.
Yeah.
So he could let a couple people know on the condition that they didn't publicize it. So, Chaver Ace,
like, of course, you know that.
I heard this story 30 years ago.
Right.
Okay. That Pinchas Teitz, yeah, Oliver Shalom, who was the head of the Jewish community of Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm not sure who he was doing on his own, whatever organization he was in, but during maybe the 50s even, the 60s and 70s for sure, in the 80s,
yeah,
he was traveling back and forth on a regular basis to Russia.
Mm.
And every time he would go, he wouldn't tell the Rebbe, by the way, I'm going to Israel, I'm going to Russia. Every single time, a day or two before he would go, he'd get a knock on the door, and there would be a package from the Lubavitcher Rebbe for him to take to Russia. Tefillin, mezuzahs, sidurim, whatever it was.
Yeah,
it had to get taken in, and he said it was he got to the point where at some point when he was getting ready to go, he expected the knock at the door and some Lubavitcher to be standing there with a package.
Right.
Okay? So it happened that the one time that he went, so the person bringing it, and when I heard the story, I heard the name of who it was, but I forgot who the person was bringing the package, was told specifically to give, because what he was supposed to take was he's supposed to take and just leave it there. Tefillin, mezuzahs, waiting for the people over there. He said, this is for you. Okay, it was a tanya, a small pocket tanya.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is for you, this is not to leave, take it with you and bring it back.
Uh-huh.
This is for you.
For you.
Okay, the Reb Pinchas Teitz was a bit miffed to say that he was less than a lover of Lubavitch and Hasidus would be an understatement. But he appreciated the Rebbe and what the Rebbe did for Russian Jewry,
yeah,
and saw that just because the Rebbe was able to know without anybody telling him that he's going off to Russia, that he appreciated it. So he said, I'm into learning Tanya. I don't learn Tanya. I don't want to learn Tanya.
Right.
But the Rebbe said to do this thing this one time, there must be a reason for it. He took the Tanya, little small Tanya.
Right.
Back then they had these little, very, very thin, almost onion skin paper.
Right.
And they had like a black vinyl, soft vinyl cover.
Oh, wow.
This was really a pocket Tanya. You could put it in your jacket, outside jacket pocket.
Neat.
Okay? And so that's what he did. Okay? He's walking around some city in Russia, and he sees that there's two people following him with the overcoats, with the hats over the thing, the whole business over here.
Right.
And he kind of picks up the pace, and they pick up the pace, and he kind of turns a corner, and they turn a corner, and he's really trying to run away, and they they pushed him into an alleyway.
Uh-huh.
They put a piece of tape over his mouth.
Right.
They put a hood over his his head, they tied his wrists and threw him in the back of a car and sped off. And he said, that's it. He's saying Shema, he's saying Vidui. The mm-hmm. next thing, the car stops. He's being led down the stairs. The cranky,
yeah.
Okay? The light clicks on, click. Okay? And they take the hood off, and they take the gag off, and it's two Hasidim.
Oh, no.
Really?
And he said, we've been watching you, and we know that we can trust you. But we had to do this so that you wouldn't endanger anybody, including yourself. Okay? One of them said, I'm one of the organizers of they call it Askanim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the people, the doers,
right,
in this city.
Right.
And the KGB is after me.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't know if I stay so that I'll be able to do more, but it's a perilous thing.
Right.
Maybe I should go away.
Right.
But then I'll be leaving. So I have a question for the Rebbe. Please ask the Rebbe this question. Okay? The second one said, I also have a question for the Rebbe. And it just fell out of my head what the second question was. Okay. Oh, I remember. Is, should I apply for an exit visa? Because he was a scientist, he had a lot of education, and a refuseniks were the first thing, as soon as they would file the exit visas, they would get fired, they'd be left without a livelihood. And so this is a question that he had for the Rebbe.
Yeah.
So in the course, they're talking, so this Pinchas Teitz mentioned that in this time, something unusual happened, the Rebbe gave him a pocket Tanya.
Yeah.
And these guys jumped up and said, you have something that the Rebbe held in his hand. Can we hold it, please? Okay? So the first one was holding it, and he's like flipping through the pages, and it stopped. He saw that the page was dog-eared in such a way that the point of it came to a specific word in the Tanya. And the word of the Tanya was, I don't remember the exact words, I do remember from when I heard it back then, because I don't remember these things, was, and the Jews left Mitzrayim. And he understood, he better take off. Okay? And the second one said, you got an answer, maybe I got an answer too. So they're flipping, they're looking, they find another page, and it wasn't just Stam, like if you flip over a page, reminded it. It was pointed in such a place that the corner came to a specific word. And that one, I don't remember where it was, but he understood from this that he should apply for the exit visa. Okay, as a courtesy, when Pinchas Teitz would come back from Russia, he would go for a yechidus to the Rebbe to report back all the things that had happened, and the names of people that he saw, and the conditions of people, and the things that he gave out, and where they went, and all the things that happened. And he didn't want to say anything to the Rebbe about the Tanya, because he didn't want to test the Rebbe that maybe it was just a coincidence that the pages were dog-eared like this, and these were something in their mind, because this is, you know, he's not a chassid, he doesn't know from...
Right.
So, but he didn't ask, and the Rebbe kept on saying, he said, is there anything else? And he would think of something, and he'd say something else. And the Rebbe would say, is there anything else? And he would think, and then he said, I can't think of anything. He said, what about the two guys in the basement? And so he told them at that point. And the Rebbe then smiled and said, thank you very much. And at that moment, Pinchas Teitz said, at that moment, I had a desire to be a chassid. Because if the Rebbe can take care of his chassidim in providing them answers before they even ask the question, but the taiva dissipated.
Maybe.
The desire dissipated.
Yeah.
He didn't become a chassid. Who was he?
Pinchas Teitz was the head of the Elizabeth, New Jersey. Yeah.
He used to give a radio shiur before Rabbi Weinberg in Gemara, of Yiddish, WEVD, and all the Bachrim were waiting to hear Rabbi Weinberg, who used to talk like this, thank you very much, Mr. Watch Bashankovitz. So he would imitate Rabbi Teitz.
And he could spot Gemara. But I remember from Elizabeth in Jersey, that was day school.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. Mamshu b'chinas gilui ha-helem, shezehu echad mehatamim shahashpos ha-hamshachas ha-chayis mekuvane b'shem or. Alderach Mashal. This is one of the reasons why the godliness coming down into this world is called with the name light. In the back of the English Tanya, and I could recommend that you read it on your own, and all those listening out there in internet land, in the back of the Tanya, and it's in written by Emanuel Schachet, and it's in his ensuing books, that this was sort of like the beginning of the essays in the back. There's a discussion of the light metaphor and why light is used and appears all over throughout Kabbalah and Hasidus. Okay, in this instance, he's saying, because we're talking about revelation. Without light, there's no revelation. Things are there, but you would never know it if it wasn't the fact that there was light.
Correct, yeah.
So that's the same thing also. The coming into existence is established when the Or, the infinite light, is enclosed in them. And what makes higher world higher and lower world lower is because there's a little bit more revelation in the higher worlds than there is in the lower worlds. Even in a world of Atzilus, you're going to still call it just, even though it's infinitely incomparable. Yeah. This world to the world of Atzilus, but compared to Hashem, it's just a little bit more. There's just a little bit more godliness in Atzilus than there is here. It says that one of the things that it says about Chatshe Feigen, I don't know if you've heard this name. Chatshe Feigen was the Friedrich Rebbe's secretary in Atvosk. Okay. And Chatshe Feigen, it says, one of the greatnesses of his mind is that he understood how Atzilus and Asiya were on the same level, but comparable to Hashem. Okay. That doesn't impress me very much, but then we had 40 years of Rebbe explaining stuff, so... Okay. Each creature, which is in each of those worlds, is now receiving the vitality according to its composition here in that world. And that then is depending on what the keli, what this tool, the vehicle for conveying the godliness is and how much godliness it needs in order for it to function, is going to determine how much godliness gets enclosed into it. That's why we use the expression the mamali kol omim, which he talked about that at the onset of this back in 49.
Right.
That the mamali means this is the godliness which is revealed. How much is revealed? How much it needs?
Right. Why? It's the same. Why is the mashal of the body?
Yes.
It's the same identical situation.
Yep. And it's an interesting thing. What happens? One of the definitions in Hebrew, I don't know if we mentioned this before, one of the definitions of terms used to mean a blind person in Hebrew is sagi nahar, okay, which means enough light.
Enough light.
What does that mean? That there's too much light going into the eye, and therefore the eye can't be a proper tool for conveying the power of sight. So there's too much chayis,
right? Okay.
In it, and what happens if there's too much godliness?
That's
if there's too much godliness, it's not a keli anymore.
Right, it's not a keli.
It ceases to function. It's no longer a tool. It's no longer proper.
Right.
It's not that we're making fun of blind people by saying, "Oh, you guys got too great a power of sight." It's a shortcoming in their eyeballs.
Right.
And the lower worlds, even the spiritual lower worlds, what makes them lower is that the godliness that comes to them has been filtered. He's going to talk about in Shar Yechveh Amunah, it's been permutated, it's been contracted, it's been contained, it's been switched, it's been turned inside out and upside down.
Velveeta.
And yes, until it's been velvetized, and that was determines it to be lower. Asher einzei baruch hu malubish behem, that the infiniteness of Hashem encloses itself into every single step of the way.
Mm.
And to reiterate the point that he wants to make, though, is that even though that's all true, the Elokus maintains its integrity. The godliness is unchanging. Ani Hashem lo shenisi.
Yeah.
I Hashem don't change.
Right. Right.
And it's only as it's being enclosed, meaning revealed, through these various tools, that it has function. But it doesn't change. It just now has function to us. The godliness is still the same.
Sure, yeah, of course.
And it's the same thing with the godliness that's coming in and enlivening them. I didn't turn the page, yes. We're seven lines from the bottom. And so much so do these garments dominate over the infiniteness of Hashem? Asher Ein Sof Baruch Hu Malbish Umaster Behem. Hashem encloses himself in them and he hides himself in them. The Or V'Chayis Asher Bara Boyer L'Mazeh that he creates this world. The Chumri, which is physical and coarse, Mamish U'Mahavuso Mehavuha Mechayehu. He brings them into existence and he enlivens them B'Chayis with vitality. Va'or and light, asher mamshich u'meir loy or hamalubash u'makusa u'muster b'teich halavushim harabim ha'atzumim hamalimim u'mastirim ha'or v'achayas ad shaloy nira v'nigla shun or v'achayas. And so much is in detail is this process of creation, so much so that the godliness becomes totally and completely obscured. It's still maintaining its integrity. It still is a davar pashut. It's still infinite. But it's totally completely hidden that we don't even recognize its existence.
Yeah,
if you're spending 3.5 hours in the car today, I was kind of thinking, wouldn't it be good if I could just hop on some infinite light and just like beam me up and down instead of sitting in this car for 3.5 hours? Yes.
Yes, beam me up, Michael.
Yep. Yep. Sham or v'chas rak dvorim chomrim v'gashmim nirim mesim, such that physical things, you could have an inanimate object even. You pick up a rock. Is there godliness in this rock?
Of course.
Oh yeah, we tell it. We for sure there's godliness in the rock. Okay. This is such one of the persons who don't understand, who never learned Hasidism, don't learn anything about real Judaism. You tell them that a rock has a soul. Mm-hmm. And it just totally, completely, just like tilt, blows them away.
Yeah.
Really, the least of a reaction I get is really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so because of course it has to, because it comes from Hashem. Hashem is enclosed in everything, keeping it into existence. Right. But it's so obscure that this thing doesn't even look like it has life in it.
Right.
But the godliness is enclosed in this thing and brings them into existence and enlivens them constantly, so they should not revert back to the nothingness from whence he came. And he's going to talk about this more in chapter 1 in Shar Yechad V'Amunah. Stay tuned. And it says that if the Hashem wanted to stop creating the world, all you have to do is stop creating the world. Just shut up.
Exactly. Just
stop talking. The world will cease to exist.
Thinking about it, it's
done. It says this infiniteness of Hashem is infinite, but it's enclosed in many garments. The godliness that comes down to this world is at the bottom of the bottom level godliness. By the time it filters through here, even the godliness which is enlivening this physical world is Velveeta cheese.
Even Velveeta looks like cheese.
Yes. Ubatecha Malchus de Yetzira, and inside of that is Malchus of Yetzira, and inside of that is Malchus of Malchus of Bri, etc.
Yeah.
He says in a note earlier in chapter 2. Okay, he brings in this note. And so that until such what? That you have. No, it's in chapter 6, I'm sorry. That in even in Atzilus, you have the, which is defined, you have the infiniteness of Hashem. To be continued, we finish chapter 51.